This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. One of the most common questions children are asked by adults is, what would you like to be when you grow up? Of course, the meaning behind this question is, what occupation would that child like to have when they get older? But I've always found the phrasing of that question a little bit unusual. What do you want to be when you grow up? As if our entire being is tied up into what we do. If you ask kids what they want to be when they grow up, many of them will describe fanciful and elaborate things, big dreams, childhood things of like being an astronaut or a professional athlete. In fact, when I was a kid, about half the people in my class said when they wanted to grow up, they wanted to be a pro football player or baseball player of some kind. Others said they wanted to travel to the moon. But as we get older, we realize that our careers or our occupations, if you will, are simply that. Even those people who become professional athletes, that only lasts till they're about 30 or 40 years old, and then eventually they have to go on and do something else. But it's this idea of what do you want to be, that when you grow older and as you grow up, you are becoming who you truly are, that I think is a little different than what we find in the Bible. You see, in our culture today, we treat people when they are born as if they are lumps of clay, and that through their actions and activities and their accomplishments, they begin to be formed into who they are. As they grow older, they begin to be influenced by friends and parents and teachers and the things that people say about them or the things that people don't say about them, we believe determines who they are. People often use the expression, you are what you eat, but many people believe that you are what people say about you. And if we take hold of this idea that we are what other people say about us, we are our accomplishments, our achievements, our professions, if you will, then we lend ourselves to being influenced easily by forces and things that God never intended us to be influenced by. Our identity becomes something that is a product of this world instead of something that is coming from God. And this is something that the person in our scripture reading, Jacob, struggled with throughout his entire life. You see, Jacob was born the second of two twins, his older brother, Esau, and he came second. And the reason that he was named Jacob is because his mother said that as his brother, Esau, was pulled first from her womb, Jacob was holding on to his foot. And so the name Jacob actually means follower. And this is what Jacob wrestled with throughout his early childhood, that he was second. And the truth of the matter is, this is something that I can understand deeply because I am a twin as well. You see, being a twin is a wonderful blessing, but it can also be somewhat of a struggle because you're always being compared to your brother or your sister or whoever you're a twin with. That wherever you go, they go. Whatever they do, you do, especially from a young age. And so it's difficult at times to distinguish your own identity. And this is what Jacob struggled with from an early age, the inability to distinguish himself. And he dealt with this lack of identity, this lack of purpose, by becoming sort of a trickster, if you will. You see, Jacob was the second born of the twins, and being second born in ancient Israel was actually a very big deal. You see, the firstborn got so much more than the secondborn. For example, the firstborn got more of the inheritance. And so one day, Jacob decided to trick his brother Esau out of this inheritance. His brother Esau was very hungry one day, the Bible tells us, and Jacob had a big bowl of stew. And Jacob told him that if he gave him his birthright, his inheritance, that he would give him all his stew. Well, because Esau was starving, in a moment of weakness, he agreed to it. And this began to build Esau's resentment towards Jacob. But then something else happened. When Jacob and Esau's father was very old and about to die, Jacob dressed up like his brother. He put on a lamb's clothing. He put on wild animal's clothing because his brother Esau was actually very, very hairy. And he went to his father, who was so sick he could not see anymore, and opened his eyes and told him it was Esau. And his father gave him a special blessing, which in those days meant a great deal. You see, Jacob was a trickster. He was a cheater. And like many tricksters and cheaters, this eventually caught up with him. You see, Esau's brother eventually became so angry with Jacob for tricking him and cheating him in so many ways that he eventually decided to take his life. And that's where our scripture reading takes place today. Jacob is running away from his brother Esau. He sends his family, his friends, all the people he knows to go far away from him, because if Esau kills him, he doesn't want them to be involved. And one night, our scripture tells us, while he was running away from his brother Esau, he came across who he thought initially was a man and began to wrestle with him. Now, this man was not any man, but in fact was God in the form of a person. And they wrestled all night long, and after wrestling and wrestling and wrestling, they could not get an edge on one another. God let Jacob hold on until finally the sun was about to rise, and the scripture tells us that God told Jacob that he needed to go. Well, Jacob, getting up to his trickster ways, once again tried to get something out of the deal, tried to bargain with God. And he said to God, "I will not let you go until you bless me." God said to Jacob, "Tell me your name." And he answered, "Jacob." Then God said to him, "You will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Now, what does this mean? What is the purpose of this scripture reading? What are we supposed to take from this? That God, when Jacob is very, very old, decides to give him a new name. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's a message that God is sending to Jacob and to us as a reminder that the things and the people in this world cannot name you, cannot define you. I can only name you. I can only define you. I remember when I was a kid, and one thing that people who know about me well know that I am a lifelong Chicago Bears fan. And when I was a kid, I remember my dad got some Bears tickets. And he got some extra tickets, and he told my brother and I that we could each invite a friend of ours. And so I thought long and hard about who I wanted to invite to this Bears game. And I thought about the friends I had at school. But then I realized that, you know, I had an opportunity with this Bears ticket to maybe make friends with a person that I always wanted to make friends with. See, I decided to invite the most popular, the most well-liked kid in class. And I believed that by inviting him into this Bears game, that he would now become my friend, and I would be one of the popular, I would be one of the well-liked kids as well. So I went up to this kid, who I didn't know very well, and I asked him if he wanted to go to the Bears game. Well, of course, right away, he asked his parents. They said yes, and we went to the Bears game, and we had a great time. And I believe that this transaction that I made with this person now sealed the deal, that because I had given this person a Bears ticket, that I would now be their friend, that would now be part of the group of people that I wanted to be friends with at school. Well, a few days later, it came time to go to recess once again, and we did what a lot of kids always did at recess. We played football. And it came time to pick teams, and there were two captains on the team. And one of the captains on one of the teams was the person that I invited to the Bears game. And all the rest of the kids stood there waiting to get picked. And one by one, people began to get picked. And much to my disappointment, I was not picked on what I thought was my new friend's team. But at first I thought, well, eventually he'll pick me. Eventually he'll pick me, because right now maybe he's just picking his best friends. I don't need to be his best friend. Maybe I can just be sort of his friend. But as the picks went on and on and on, I found myself standing there as one of the last few people. And he had the opportunity to pick me or one other kid. And he chose the other kid. I was disappointed, not because I was
pick last for that football game, I was disappointed because I had believed that by doing something, by giving him something, that I could become something that I always wanted to be. I share this story with you because so many of us live this scenario out over and over again well into our adult years. We believe that by saying and doing certain things, we will become certain things. We will become certain people. That by giving, that by sharing, that by saying certain things, that by earning certain things, that people will say the right things about us and we will become what we truly are. But doing this leaves us feeling empty. Doing this reminds us that the world cannot define us because the world snatches away our definitions at a moment's notice. That things that are often insincere, things that are often untrue, are said about us and others. And by pursuing a worldly definition of ourselves, we will always left be feeling wanting that we need more. I think this is how Jacob felt his whole life. His whole life, he felt like he was second. His whole life, he felt like he was being compared to his brother Esau, and it caused him to behave in some pretty unethical and sinful ways. But notice what God does in our scripture reading today. In our scripture reading today, God gives him a new name. And not just any name, but God gives him the name Israel. You see, from that day forward, every single Jewish person in ancient Israel would trace their lineage back to him. That Israel was not just a country or a place, but Israel was based on a person, the person of Jacob. When you might read the Old Testament, you might hear something called the 12 tribes of Israel. What that means is Jacob's 12 sons became cornerstones for the country of Israel, which every Jewish person could trace their lineage through. You see, the world viewed Jacob as one way. Jacob viewed himself as one way. But God viewed him and understood him as another thing, as the foundation of his country. And this isn't the only time God would do this, changing someone's name. In fact, he does it quite frequently throughout the scriptures. At one point in the scriptures, Jesus goes to a man named Simon, a man who is bumbling, a man who is fumbling, a man who never has the right answer or does the right thing, and out of nowhere changes his name. He changes his name from Simon to Peter, which means the rock. You see, Jesus sees something in Peter. He identifies something in Peter that goes beyond worldly definitions or worldly identities, that God gives him a unique identity that is all his own. And the truth of the matter is, God does that with you too. You see, there are so many worldly definitions that we could subscribe to, that we could strive through, but the only definition that matters is the definition that God gives us. Because God is our creator. God is our founder. God is our father. And it is the creator that gets to define what something is. These days, I am very blessed to see my kids bring home all sorts of different projects from school, many different drawings and different things. And I always get to ask them, what did you draw? What is this? What is this a picture of? And then they tell me and explain it. They say, oh, it's a bat, or it's a superhero, or it's a Star Wars character, or whatever it is. Now, one thing I can't do is say, no, it's not. That's not a bat. That's not a duck. That's not a Star Wars character. That's a this. No, they get to define it because they are the ones who created it. And that's the same thing with God, that God is the only one who gets to define you. God is the only one who gets to say who you are, and who you are meant to be. The world does not have claim on that. And what we need to do as Christians is we need to constantly be reminding ourselves of this godly definition so that we may center ourselves in our true identity. It's one of the reasons that worship is so important. Worship is so important because it's an opportunity to come and step out of our regular daily life where people are naming us, saying things about us, trying to define us. And we get to come here and be remembered of who God says we are. It's one of the reasons that reading scripture and prayer is so important, because it's about listening. It's about listening to what God has to say about you. What God has to say about you is that you are justified. You are justified through the cross of Jesus Christ. That you have been marked and called with the Holy Spirit. That God has put his name, his claim on you. And when God puts his claim on you, no one can take it away. So remember the story of Jacob. Remember that when we go out into the world and we scramble and we reach and we claw, we'll always be leaving feeling empty. We'll always feel pressured to do things that are outside of our character, that are ungodly. But if we turn to God and we ask God to claim us as his children, that if we remember that we are God's, that God is own, that he names us and claims us and doesn't let go, we will always be reminded of who we are and who we are called to be. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to be your servants, children who are called and claimed by you. Help us remember the story of Jacob. Help us be inspired that as he names Jacob a new name, you give us a new identity in Jesus Christ. And it's in his holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.